It's the Financial Forum with Russ Jalbert.
Hi, everybody. This is the Financial Forum, and you know that our purpose is to help make your lives better. Isn't that kind of a nice feeling to have your lives better? We want to simplify the information that deluges you so that you can make wise decisions about your money, to be able to go the distance in retirement. That's what we're here about. Joining me today is Joe Waltenbaugh. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Russ. Great to be here.
You bet. It is nice to have you also. And we've got a full agenda today. We were thinking on the way down here, you know, what is it that people care about? And just over and over it's said to me, people care about the market. Is it going to drop? What's going on? They care about what kind of information are they getting and what do they do with their 401k? We're going to address each of these. We're going to nail them. So grab yourself a pen and we're going to be right back.
You've got the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. Remember the number, 877-807-7233. Now, here's the Dean of Financial Planning, Russ Jalbert.
You know, for 40 years, I have been doing what I do, guiding people in the use of their money so that they can have safe and secure futures. And I really enjoy this radio show because it kind of keeps me on my toes. It helps me to stay focused. You know, what is it that I do for a living is the question that I ask. And I find myself reading voraciously to try and find ideas and concepts to bring to the people who I know are listening. So we appreciate you very much. We know that our main focus has to be to help you build strategies that can provide continuity, that can provide certainty under any circumstance. Wouldn't that be just nice if you knew that you could retire successfully in any economy? Pretty powerful ideas. We think you can do it, and that's what we're about. And we're here to kind of help you not get rich, but avoid being poor. And Joe, you know, as we were kind of prepping for today, you had mentioned a shocking mm-hmm. article, at least I thought it was, on the deficits?
This was from the Wall Street Journal, and it just mentioned that currently corporations have about $3 trillion in current pension liabilities.
Wow, $3
trillion. With a T. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's a number, honestly. Trillion is a new number
it is.
To us, and we don't know how big it is. I know that if you lay dollar bills end to end, that we could go to the moon and back like 60 times for, you know, $1 trillion.
Right.
So to have $3 trillion is an enormous liability. What does that mean for our listeners who may be in the process of accepting a pension?
Yeah, it means a couple things. I mean, obviously, we've got a pensionless society that we're in now, which we talk about all the time. Most of our clients, maybe they had a pension or they have one, but everyone from this point forward, really, it's no longer an option. 401k is the new route. If you're going to accept a pension now, I guess it makes you want to think about a couple things. There's some uncertainty involved there because with $3 trillion in liability, I don't think that would make you feel very confident or comfortable that your pension may be there 100% long term.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that, I think you mentioned that the pension guarantee fund is only required to pay out, what is it, a third?
About a third, yeah.
Now, we would all hope that the full liabilities are paid to all the retirees, but on the books, technically, based on that guarantee fund, you could end up with less of your pension unless you moved it somewhere else. So for our listeners, I think it makes, think about this, would you want to position your pension if you have a buyout option somewhere else that's maybe safer or less at risk?
Well, you know what, let's just explore that for a minute, and I don't want to linger on this topic too long. One of the things that came to mind, though, is an American airline pilot that was a client who was getting ready to retire, and he had about a $100,000 pension, had been mm-hmm. flying for years. He ends up getting about $30,000 pension.
Right.
He has to continue looking for a job. You know, when you're a pilot, you don't have any other skills.
Right. You were a pilot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, life became very challenging for him. The other issue is this. So I'm working for a big company or a small company, and they offer me a pension buyout. And what we do at our office is we will say to somebody, we're not going to say to you, don't take it. We're going to say, let us run the numbers, crunch the numbers. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, we're going to take the amount that you have as a lump sum buyout option, and we're going to basically put it into some vehicles that we have access to that can produce a guaranteed lifetime income for you. And we're going to show you different options, whether it be the amount or if it's got a spousal benefit, because a lot of times you may not take your spouse full 100% survivorship benefit through your pension with your employer. We want to make sure that we look at both options, run the numbers with different companies, and then show you maybe you're taking a pay cut, but are you more comfortable to take a pay cut because it's guaranteed for life?
Well, we want to give you information on what your choices are.
Right.
We have some people who have actually taken a smaller pension because at their death, that pension is going to not fall down. It won't drop like so many do. It's mm-hmm. going to go to the wife at the same amount.
Right.
And if they both die, all that money is available for the kids. And so that's one of the choices. But the issue is this. We should take a look. Someone should take a look and see, does it make sense to move your pension? Don't move your pension without mm-hmm. somebody really crunching the numbers and verifying for you what you can get in the way of an income.
I would absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. Well, another thing that we want to talk about today is, you know, as we think about money, we talk about we want you to be able to go the distance in any economy. And I just love that phrase. We want you to be successful regardless of what the economy does. And as you move forward into inflation, you're going to have really three primary things that face you that could challenge your future. One is going to be the risk of losing money, and you're all aware of that. It is what we call volatility. But then beyond that, it is the inflation, and beyond that, it's going to be the risk of outliving your money. We have those three things. Our premise as we talk to people, as you listen to this show, is this. Financial security comes from limiting your exposure to any of these risks and being able to limit it so that you know that you have the assets to go the distance. To me, that is a statement that cannot be challenged.
I agree.
It's not a statement that you can challenge. We're not talking about product. We're talking about concept.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of moving monies so that you are positioned, regardless of the economy, to have a successful future. Before we go to break, we want to remind you that we're actually going to be having, we're going to call it a retirement school. We're going to have room for maybe 15 to 20 people. That's it. We're keeping it small. We're keeping it intimate. It's going to be at the Novi Sheraton from 4:30 on November 11th. You've heard me for years on this radio. Now you can meet me. I'll be there sharing my experience of 40 years in all these areas. We're going to help you understand how you can get 30% more income, how you can guarantee a 7% return on your retirement income. And also, I'm going to talk about the basics of money management, something that people really don't know. If you want to attend, you're going to have to sign up soon. So call or you can go to our website, and I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to be right back and talk about how you can invest for retirement successfully.
It's the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. Call the Jalbert Financial Group at 877-807-7233. You've seen or heard him on virtually every network, radio, and TV, Russ Jalbert.
What's going on in the stock market? Boy, if we can answer that effectively and specifically, actually, I wouldn't be on the radio. I'd be on the back of my boat, my 500-foot boat, on the fantail shooting skeet off Monaco, and maybe sipping champagne.
I would agree.
But the fact of the matter is, what's going on? Well, we really do have some insight for you. You know, what is the driver of the stock market? Well, there isn't one driver. We have several drivers, and Joe and I have kind of labeled those the ease of the stock market. And I guess the first one, Joe, is going to be, I guess, Ebola.
Yeah, this is kind of this concept of the five E's of worry right now going on. And like you said, number one is Ebola. It's a concern in everyone's mind right now. And you've talked a lot about this concept of a black swan event, something that we don't really know, we can't control. It doesn't have anything to do with a company or earnings or any math. It just kind of comes out of nowhere. And Ebola is one of those examples where it's kind of, you know, it's hit the United States here recently, and it's put a lot of people in worry and investors in worry. And for the markets, it's something that if it continues to outbreak, I think it could have that type of a black swan event or that black swan effect on the market.
Yeah, a black swan is an event that is so rare that it is normally not predicted in any forecast in the bell curve of what you may we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that's one thing. And now it's kind of gone past us. What other things have been kind of affecting this market?
Yeah, so the next thing is Europe. And this is something that I think a lot of our listeners are probably following or understand a little bit about what's going on, but specifically Germany.
Yeah.
And this is worry. I mean, we're in a global economy, and Europe's a big driver of what affects us here.
Germany is the leader in Europe, and Germany is now heading towards recession. That could be a real concern. And what else do we have here, Joe?
Energy, which I think is always on a list like this, especially relating to the drop in oil most recently. And those, I mean, energy and those can always affect the market, and they are currently.
And what we're saying here is that when any of these things kind of flare up, it's going to impact the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we also have earnings here.
Yeah, earnings and economy are kind of the other two, they're obviously in the mix.
And that's the big deal. What are the earnings? And many of the stock prognosticators feel that earnings that the level of price that you're paying, the stock earnings ratio, the P/E ratio, is very high. You know, Robert Shiller, the economist, has said over a 10-year period, it's averaged about 15. We're currently at 26.
Mm-hmm.
And he says what that tells him is he doesn't know when the market is going to shift,
mm-hmm.
but it tells him that the next decade,
right.
the next
10 years,
is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a market in which we have below average performance.
Yeah, I think he was quoted at, maybe I'm wrong, but about 1.5 to 2% return is what he expects for the next decade, which, I mean, that's obviously extremely low and not the historic average.
No, but that's what his, and he's a very respected man. He is not a mm-hmm. doomsdayer,
right.
Trying to sell you gold, you know, because the market's going down.
Right.
And I think, don't you have something here, Joe, that's kind of a chart on our debt and what the market's doing? Or?
Yeah, this was, it was interesting to see the correlation, and we talk a lot about correlation, how things move together or opposite of each other, and basically since the bull market started back in 2009, so after the crash, and then since March of 2009, when we were kind of at our trough there in the S&P 500 at our bottom point, since then till now, the S&P 500 and the U.S. national debt have moved, I mean, literally perfectly in sync upward.
Now, the national debt is something that's been increasing because the government has been buying bonds. They've increased our debt by, I think, over $4 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And the market has been moving up with that. And just this past Wednesday, the government made a decision not to continue buying bonds.
Right.
So, if in fact, we don't know what's going to happen, quite frankly. But the fact is, we've been on an up run for several years. We've not really had a major correction, and that is unusual in this market. We're not here to tell you that we think it's going down, but we're here to say, certainly, I think that there's reason to be cautious.
Yeah, and we've heard a lot of different individuals talk about this, especially putting somewhat of a soon timeline on some of these potential corrections. We've heard, you know, Harry Dent talk about this. We've had him on our show as well, talking about some of the times in the future, and he's even gone as far to say of a specific time when he thinks we're going to see a potential correction. And it's really like you said, kind of a matter of time with all of the bonds that were being purchased, and now that's being stopped, and we're going to see something.
You know, so here we are. You're saying we're likely to see something. And frankly, I don't have anyone that comes to the office, and I don't believe you have anyone that comes to the office that thinks, I want to be in the stock market. I think it's going to keep going up. Everybody comes with trepidation.
Yeah, I mean, haven't had a single individual come in and say, hey, I'm ready to go. Let's jump in the market. I mean, let's jump in, and I think there's a lot left. I mean, if we hit March of next year, that will be 6 full years of a bull market, which I think has never happened.
No.
Five was the longest, and we've obviously surpassed that. So all of our clients have this kind of weary tendency. They're not confident.
Well, it's in their gut.
Right.
And frankly, I believe in the gut. And I think you have something here that talks about what I want to talk about next, which mm-hmm. is many people, to overcome their concern of the market, their brokers are telling them, well, let's get you asset allocated, okay?
Yep.
Now, as you listen to me, I want to talk about what we believe to be kind of the fallacy of putting faith in asset allocation. There's really two things here. There's asset allocation, and then there is something called diversification.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that in asset allocation, we know that it really, in a market that moves down, it is something that doesn't help you in the area, and it doesn't help you because of what we call the correlation of the assets, that the assets begin to move all together. For
right.
example, if you own all these different mutual funds and the market starts down, the reason you own the different mutual funds is so that you don't have all your eggs in one basket and that they may not move together. But they likely do, right?
Yeah, I mean, you cannot avoid market risk with any type of asset allocation or diversification strategy, because if the market risk that exists, the overall market going down, cannot be avoided. It will move down together at some point, no matter how you're diversified.
Yeah. Well, we know that from 1900, there's a fellow named John Ochar. All right, now John has written a book. It's the size of a phone book, and it's all numbers, and something that I enjoy reading and studying. Let me just kind of give you the summation of it. He ran. Now I know these are kind of old numbers, but he went all the way back to 1900, and he ran them through 1999. And so he said, what would happen in the most aggressive portfolio, which would be all equities,
mm-hmm.
and what would happen in a small, in a least aggressive portfolio, which would be like 20% equities and 80% bonds. Well, he found this, that as a portfolio became more conservative, the volatility decreased. Duh. Yeah.
Right.
You can
sense.
See that. However, as the portfolio decreased, so did its ability to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you give up is less volatility, but also less money. So the next time that somebody says, listen, let's asset allocate, you want to kind of say, I'm not so sure that that's the best way. Is there another way? And we're going to talk about that other way. What we want you to understand is that there is risk in asset allocation. And the other thing, Joe, is we're going to rebalance your portfolio. And, as a matter of fact, let's talk about that when we get back. We want to remind you of the retirement school that we're going to have. We're going to have room for about 20 people. That's it. Small, intimate setting at the Novi Sheraton on November 11th. That'll be from 4:30 on. You've heard me for years on this radio station. Now you can have the ability to meet me. I'm going to share my 40 years of experience. I'm going to share all that I have within me to help you understand how you can get 7% return on your income, how you can get 30% more income in retirement. And also, I want to start out with the basics of money management. So we're going to cover a lot. Sign up. We're going to limit it. So sign up today. We're going to be right back.
It's the Financial Forum on WJR, 877-807-7233. He's the Certified Financial Planner, Russ Jalbert.
So we were talking about asset allocation, diversification, and the fact that when the market, if the markets move up, it doesn't matter what you do. Everybody's happy.
Right.
But it's really what happens when the markets go sideways or down. And asset allocation and diversification really did not help. And then we talked about rebalancing. And the conclusions that John Ochar came to is that long-term volatility was about the same, whether you were all equities or whether you were equities and bonds. So it wasn't much different.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, it stunted the growth in bull markets, and it also compounded losses in these secular bear markets. So the summary is that the next time that you're asked to sign a form to automatically rebalance, stop and think. because you may be unknowingly signing away years of portfolio life and growth. It is something to be wary of. And Joe, that's sad about the weaknesses of these strategies.
Right.
You also have some information about people that have asset allocated.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've kind of determined here that this, the concept of asset allocation, and you cannot avoid market risk, and it's kind of become somewhat of a... It's not working the way I think a lot of people used to think it would. As an example, the concept of a 60-40 asset allocation, which is your standard, you know, if you don't really adjust anything in your portfolio, it's kind of defaulted, you know, 60% equities, 40% bonds. This is something that the industry default setting is set to, and the statistics are pretty... pretty bad the last decade, basically, because not only is a 60-40 portfolio somewhat risky, if the market tanks like it did in 2008, you have 60% of your assets exposed to 30-40% risk, you're going to lose a lot of money. On top of that, over the last, you know, decade to 14 years, because of the low returns, your 60-40 splits barely kept up with inflation. So now we're talking about something that used to work so well in the past that now has two problems. In a bad market, it doesn't keep up with inflation, and in a crash, you could lose a lot of money. So it's one of those things that's kind of become a strategy that's no longer really relevant. And on top of that, a lot of individuals don't even know how they're allocated.
That's a big issue. They don't know. People come in, have all these mutual funds, mm-hmm. and they may have six or seven different funds, and they don't know. And another thing that they don't know is the fact that many mutual, I mean, they're all these guys are fishing from the same pond.
Right.
All these managers.
There's a lot of overlap.
And overlap is?
Essentially, your mutual funds may contain the same positions as your other mutual funds, but you don't really realize that. You think they're different.
You could own Coca-Cola in all of your mutual
funds. In all of them. You might have 26, you know, positions in this mutual fund and 26 in there, but 23 are the same. Mm-hmm. What value is there? So that's an issue. There was actually an interesting article that was from the Wall Street Journal also that said that about a quarter of investors between 60 and 64 years old had 100% of their assets allocated into stocks. 100%.
We find that people come to our office and they have not they don't take it upon themselves to get out if in fact they're concerned about the market. They just don't know. So, you know, Joe, as you think about it, let me see. If in fact diversification doesn't work, if in fact asset allocation is questionable, rebalancing is questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, in folks, I want you to hear this, because if you ignore what I'm going to say, the chances or the changes that you're going to suffer financially during your retirement are going to bring you pain for your life. What is the predominant factor? What is the predominant factor in your retirement success? And the answer is luck. Now, this is a serious financial show, and I am not joking with you.
Right.
The most serious issue that you can have out there that can impact your future is luck. You know, if you retired in 2007, you could be elated,
mm-hmm.
and then 2008 occurred. If you retired in 1998 or 9, you could be, oh my gosh, how great this is, and then bang, 1, 2, 3 years, you know, the market drops 50%.
Yep.
If you retired in 2009, how great that was, because you have experienced the market up. And hear me, folks, no conventional investment, and this is based upon studies, no conventional investment can provide safety from bad luck.
I agree.
All right, so Joe,
mm-hmm.
you have studied the markets, I know, going back 116 years.
Yep.
And you have seen that there are periods in the market, and we've got four of them, and it's really very, you can really trace it. You know, they happen, and then you have an up market. They happen mm-hmm. again, but these periods run 25 to 20 years.
Yep.
And these are, for example, I know I'm going way back here, but 1929. It was 1954 before the market recovered.
It was 24 years.
And that when
25 years, yeah.
And then we had, I think there's a period from the 60s to the 80s where it went sideways for 15, 18 years.
Yeah, if you look back, and we're talking mainly about just, it's the market, but we're tracking the Dow Jones Industrial Average back, you know, to 1900, essentially. You have periods of time where you have a huge run. Look at the 80s as an example. You have these huge runs, and then basically it goes off a cliff and goes sideways for a period, like you said, of 15 to 25 years. And what we're trying to say with that, and we call it being stuck in the muck, where you're just kind of going sideways, up and downs along the way. We're in one of those periods now. But the point is, these periods are repeatable in history. After a long series of bull run, we level off for 15 or 25 years, and in your retirement, it's kind of just history and repeatable. You're going to be in one experience one of those periods.
Well, let me. So I'm your broker, and I say, look, think ahead 10 years. Is the market going to be higher or lower than it is today? And you're going to think, well, probably higher. And well, then you should be in the market. Well, mm-hmm. No. The market moves up, but we have four periods in history that average 20 years in length,
right,
in which the market went sideways. The market will move up, yes, but that's going to be a period of 25 to 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be in retirement for 20 to 30 years. You will more than likely experience one of these sideways movements as you get into retirement. You know, luck. You know, what is, here we're talking about luck, and we're talking about the stock market. The stock market, how did you say it? Yes, it's not an exact science.
Right, it's basically made up of imperfect knowledge.
Imperfect knowledge. Because a guess is a guess. I don't care who makes that guess. Now, luck plays a heck of a role. What causes and what creates luck? Well, most importantly, it's what we call sequence of returns.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when the market just starts down year after year. If you are taking money out during that period of time, you're going to have to take out more money as the market continues down, and that's the risk that you face.
And the math isn't, and it's hard to talk about really on the radio, but the math is incredible how quickly you can deplete your retirement portfolio if we have a 2008 repeat itself, and your assets are cut by 40%, and then you have to take out more money. What you predicted in 2007 when you retired is now impossible at what happened in 2008. You cannot take the retirement income you had once planned on.
You're
that's
going
luck.
To have to adjust. And I think that it was Ernst & Young that did a study that said two-thirds of the people are going to run out of money.
Right.
All right, I want to say this. So if, in fact, you ignore the luck factor, if you ignore the luck factor, the chances that you're going to suffer or the changes you're going to suffer are going to impact you for life. Now, while there's nothing we can do about luck, we can recognize its existence.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows us to bypass it by looking at other income classes to create this income. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Great.
Okay? So I want to tell you about our retirement school that we have coming up at the Novi Sheraton. You've been listening to me for 40 or for a lot of years here. You can now meet me personally. I'm going to share with you at this retirement school. Small, intimate setting. 20 people. That's it. The basics of investing. How you can get 7% on your income. How you can get 30% more income. Offset inflation in the future. Powerful stuff. You can sign up, but you have to sign up. Call us or go online. And we're going to be right back to talk about the other asset classes that are immune from market loss, yet hold the potential to bring you success in any economy.
You've got the Financial Forum on News Talk 760 WJR. 877-807-7233. He's your best-selling financial author, Russ Jalbert.
Our purpose is to make your lives better. It's to bring you information that you can literally put to use right away to help you enjoy a retirement of peace of mind. That's such, to me, a wonderful sentence. I am in retirement. I have peace of mind. We can help you be successful in any economy. We're here to help you go the distance. So, Joe, I'm thinking about all that we've just talked about. I kind of want to pull it together and talk about, all right, well, if in fact luck is mm-hmm. such a big deal in my retirement, I need to look for something that can not be impacted by bad luck.
Right.
You know, so the question is, how much money should I put in risk? How much money should I put in safety? And I want to think, I'm thinking right now about Jim Cramer. You all know Jim. He's on the Real Money Show. He's kind of that madman who rolls up his sleeves and rants and raves. Mm-hmm. But Jim has written a few books. And he's also an extremely successful guy. He made about $100 million, you know, as a manager. And I don't think he takes any money for his show. I think it all goes into his foundation. But here's a quote from his book called, his Real Money book. The stock market is a great place to grow your money. But because of the risks involved in such investments, transition some of your investment out of equities, out of stocks, and into safer investments when you're in your 40s, which is lower than I ever would have thought him to say.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time you're in your 60s, a majority of your investments should be out of equities. Why? Well, the risk of the market is just far too great, and the potential to earn money is limited by your time frame to invest. That's from Jim Cramer. Now, from me, Russ Gelbert, I want to second that and say I agree. I don't know that if the 40s is the time to start exiting, but certainly when you're in your 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have kind of a formula, Joe. We call it the rule of 100.
Right.
Which is...
basically, if you take your age and you subtract that from 100, that's the amount of money the difference there. That's left, say you're 60 years old, you subtract 61 from 100. That 40 number is the amount, the percent that you should have invested in the market, and that 60 should be essentially safety-proof. So if you think about it, the older you get, the more money that should be safety-proofed and the less that's in the market.
So don't let your stockbroker, don't let anybody who is biased towards stocks try to put all your money in the stock market. You know, it's just not the thing to do, so say so many experts, including myself. You know, it might be in their best interest, but it's not in yours. I mean, if they lose it, it's going to affect you a whole bunch more than it's going to affect them.
Right.
So we want to now talk about, all right, how can I invest where I can invest and not have to face, I guess, the risk of bad luck?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have had developed in this country something that we refer to as structured assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a structured asset, there's two ways that you can make money. One, you can invest directly in the market. And the other one is that you can invest in an indexing strategy.
Right.
So we all know what it is to invest directly in the market. I put my money in stocks and bonds, and if they go up or down, so do I. So, well, let's talk about the indexing strategy.
Yeah, so the indexing strategy is an alternative where your money is, if you can imagine, sitting somewhere that's just as it is, not exposed to any risk, while it's tracking an index. Now, that index, let's use the S&P 500, for example. Your money is sitting there, say you have $500,000. As the index goes up and down, your $500,000 stays as is. But over a period of predetermined time...
Now, hold on. As the market goes up and down, it stays, or if it goes up, you move up with it?
Well, I was just going to use the example of a time period of when it's credited, but right.
Oh, okay, fine.
But right, so the idea, though, is when you're tracking this index, you only go up if the index goes up. If the index goes down, you actually stay level at the point in which you were at. So if you can imagine, over a period of time, you have no market risk when tracking these indices. All you have is a portion of the upside, and then if in a bad market, if we tank, you would receive a 0% return or flatline at that level point. So you don't have any market risk, just the upside potential.
You know, I'm going to try to repeat some of what you said. So as you're listening, kind of hold this picture in your mind. On the left-hand side of a page, you know, you put a little dot, and if the market goes up 10%, you're going to go up, let's say, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there you go. You move from point A to point B up. Now, if the market goes down the next year, you keep your gains.
Right.
You go sideways. And so now you have your left hand is very high. Your right hand, following the down, is well below your left hand. So you get some feeling of this gap. I call it the gap.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think to be the most powerful concept ever created in the investment world. Your assets go sideways, yet the next year, if that your right hand now, where the market's gone down, That's your new. What can I call it? Your bogey or?
Yeah, that's your. I mean the
new starting
your
point.
Your new starting point. Yeah.
So you're. So if the market goes from let's say 1,200 down to 800, the next year you go and it goes from 800 to 900, you get that gain.
Right, but you were staying at 1,200, getting the gain up. You didn't have to go down to 8.
No, you kept. So it's called an annual reset. And I think it's one of the most powerful concepts that have ever been created. And the thing that I say to people is, would you be willing to give up some of the up of the market to have no exposure to the down?
Mm-hmm.
And holy cow, yes, I would. And for that, you get to keep all of your gains. You get to keep all of your gains. You get to enjoy the peace of mind that comes with owning this asset.
Well, I mean, and these index strategies are used in these structured vehicles that we're talking about, and this is the new asset class that essentially takes luck out of the equation, because we know what's going to happen in these accounts, and we can. I mean, you always say this, and you've said it in your book, but we're bringing certainty to an uncertain world when we use this vehicle.
Isn't that something? Certainty in an uncertain world. What's it going to cost me? Well, some of these structured assets have caps, C-A-P-S, is to limit the amount of upside that you can have. The new ones that we utilize mm-hmm. have managed indexes that have no caps. If, in fact, that index goes up 10%, you get it. If it goes up 15, you get it.
Right.
Now, you're going to hear from brokers, these are no good. You can't make money. The fact is, we have people in our office who in 2014 have made up to 16%.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
They have no risk.
No risk. They made 16%. Now, we also have people that will tell you, don't do this because there's a lot of fees involved. The fees are
less than 1%, if any.
Well, the less than 1%. And for that, which is where I'm going to go next, we're going to talk about these riders, R-I-D-E-R-S, riders that you can add on. So if you take your right hand and put it on top of your left hand, all right, your right hand is the rider. Your left hand is the base contract. A rider can tell you that we're going to give you a guaranteed 7% return. A rider can tell you that we're going to give you increasing income in your retirement. A rider can tell you that if, in fact, you have a long-term care event, we're going to double the income that comes to you and so that you have money to offset that expense. In all these cases, your income is guaranteed for all of your life, all of your wife's life. They're very, very powerful. To know more about these, I want you to invite you to our retirement school. It's going to be a small, intimate setting at the Novi Sheraton on November 11th from 4:30 on. I'm going to talk about, you have a chance to meet me personally. I'll be there interacting. We're going to talk about the basics of money management and all the things that you've heard today. So give us a call and sign up. We're limiting this to about 20 people. That's it. So you need to sign up. Joe, I think we're running out of time here. Do you have anything you want to share?
Be safe.
And I want to tell you to stay safe, everybody. And by that, we mean your money. And at Jalbert, we're always working to earn your trust.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy or completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Russ Jalbert or Patrick Kelly and Joseph Weltonbaugh are liable for usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and may be subject to restrictions, limitations, or early withdrawal fees. Annuities are not FDIC insured. Individuals should thoroughly review the contract for the specific features of the product and costs. Income payments and withdrawals from deferred annuities are generally taxable as ordinary income in the year they're taken. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.